Gentlemen, it's the final performance of the Hollywood Show until I don't know how long.
Yeah, right.
Here it is. Congratulations.
Hey, man.
What a way to go out.
Slauncha.
Slauncha.
Clank, clank, clank.
What a show.
It's been six years of putting this show together, and it's our last performance here in Kennedy Center, and we're putting it in the trunks, and I don't know when we're going to be doing this again.
We don't have any bookings, but, you know, they come around. Mm-hmm. People always come to the lobby. Oh, when are you going to do this show again? Well, watch the website, subscribe to the newsletter. But right now, I remember when we put the America show to bed. We were in Peekskill, New York.
Yes.
And we said, we're never doing this show again. And, of course, at that time, we thought that was the case. How naive we were.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 240, Final Hollywood Thoughts. Actually, the title of this week's podcast should probably be Final Hollywood Thoughts for Now. Dominic Conti, Reed Martin, and I performed our last performance of Completely Hollywood Abridged at the Kennedy Center last Sunday, July 3rd, and we were joined by Matt Rippey, who flew in that morning from London, because on July 5th, he took over for Dominic and opened the Complete World of Sports Abridged with us here at the Kennedy Center. Since it was our final Hollywood performance for the foreseeable future, we decided to celebrate and reminisce, and because Matt Rippey was seeing the full production for the very first time, we started with his observation as an audience member.
Is Hollywood more... maybe it's just because I was sitting in the audience, but is it more absurd and, like, just out there? Because it seems to me one of the more crazy, wacky shows, and I loved every minute of it, but it seemed absurd, right?
I think it is. I think it is, and I wasn't conscious of this, and I wasn't even... It only became clear to me recently when I started thinking about that review, which I love, one of my favorite reviews of the show from St. Louis, compared this to one of the early albums of the Fire Sign Theater. Now, we know the Fire Sign Theater guys and love them, and their stuff is hysterical, and they're formative. But when I think about their early albums, their stuff is all over the place, and it goes all over the place, but yet they somehow managed to bring it back to mean something.
Yeah.
So I think you're right.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, there's all these different threads in the first act.
Yeah.
And Campbell or Keehan, one of my sons, was saying, now where does this get called back? And it's made me think about the show, and I said, well, I think this gets called back here, but then I realized almost every scene from the first act has two or three different things that get called back in absurd, weird ways in the second act.
Well, and the storyline, I mean, the first act is pretty straightforward. It's the 12 lessons of Hollywood. But we have some kind of absurd, but it all kind of makes a little bit of sense as you talk about it. But the second act is this combined movie of all of our collected ideas, and although it has a plot line of sorts, it is all over the place in terms of its references and absurdity. People come up, different characters from different movies pop up saying weird, absurd lines from all these different movies. So it doesn't really make any sense at all, except somehow it does.
It completely ties together. Yeah. In fact, I mean, you basically, it's almost like an exercise in one of the, you know, the classic improv treats is the callback. And there are so many callbacks. It's almost like you do the first act throwing things up in the air, like some crazy throw the dishes in the air, and then act two, you come back and you tie them all together somehow, and it's all callbacks. You're calling back to all the threads that you threw out there, or the plates that you threw up in the first act.
It's interesting because the first act has gone through six or eight, I'd say, major rewrites, and the trick was
more
always,
so than any of our shows.
Yeah, and the trick was, oh, we got to scuttle this scene. Oh, but there's something in this scene that's setting up a payoff, and so we either need to save that bit or find another way to introduce this. And then there were other things we thought, oh, you know, we haven't set this up, but we could write a new scene to see, you know, the second act was already written, and then we sort of also worked backwards and said, well, we haven't really set this up, but we could set this up in a nice little way as a reference and pay off even better.
And for the longest time, the first act was only set up and not terribly funny. But what was cool is that This week we were still making changes in the Hollywood show.
No way.
Yeah, no. What did we do? We reorganized the 3D business, for the foreign markets business with the flashlights in the middle. God. I mean, just stupid.
We said in one of my lines early on, we changed Unforgiven to True Grit.
Yes.
As a setup, we added Arnold, the Terminator, saying at the edges before he exits, "Where is your housekeeper?"
Right.
I did. I don't think I'm usually one for pulling a face, but I pulled a face. I figured out how to pull a face in this one moment where I say, "Becky, I can't quit you," and then I do this face.
You know what?
Like it's hit me.
The face is good. You say pull a face, but I think the face looked real to me, so yeah. I liked it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. It worked.
In fact, yes, I remember that face, and that is a good face. You should definitely number it, assign it.
Don't put down the face. Leave the face alone. What did the face ever do to you?
I believe David Letwin would classify that as a 37A.
Yeah.
And it's a keeper.
Yeah. Yeah. It was part of the take series,
yeah,
for sure.
Lucille Ball would call it a 76B, but yeah. But, you know, that it's interesting that you mentioned this face business, because I don't know if you can actually recall the shows and what you do in them. There are so many now. But are there more moments that are unscripted and happen in silence but are just a take or a face or a look? It seems to me that there were, maybe it's because it's the first time I've been in the audience watching the show, but I was aware of so many moments that were unscripted, but just a look or a take or a face.
It's interesting that you say that, because Matt Croak said the same thing about the sports show when we played Batavia.
Really?
Said something about, and I wonder, I've been thinking about that, because of course we're writing our new show, The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged, and I'm thinking about what he means by that, what you meant by that, and yeah. I think that what you're describing are sort of caricature laughs. Where the audience knows who the characters are, knows either who we are as Reed, Austin, Dominic, Rippy, and they're laughing in anticipation of knowing how that character is going to react.
Yeah.
Or they know who the character is that we're playing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking of lots of those moments. I mean, we have one line in the first act. If you have a cough, you are terminally ill in the movies.
Yeah.
And we say nothing about it until late in the second act. Dominic, Becky is lying on the floor, and Austin goes, "You're going to be okay." And Dominic just goes, and the audience bursts into laughter.
Yeah.
There's another moment, and it's not a big laugh, but when I'm exiting as Sheldrake, and you say, "Oh, and Sheldrake, yeah," and you say, "Thanks," and I just hold, looking at Austin for a second. I look at Dominic, and I look at Austin, and I exit, and it gets a laugh. I don't know what that is, and that's not one of the better ones. There's just lots of little. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the whole reveal of who the bad guy is when Dominic steps out dressed as the Man in White, and the audience just howls hysterically, because we've only mentioned that character, we've mentioned him three times, but I think everybody goes, oh I should have seen that coming.
It's an interesting show, because the second act is very tight since like practically 05, really.
Yeah.
You know, like the thing has been just like, you know, it's just complete, it's confident and whatnot, so you can just, a lot of things can hang, you can get all sorts of hanging laughs and whatnot.
Yeah, right.
And now the first act matches up with that, you know, so it's just sort of a weird thing. It's like how the second act was totally in place, and then the first act had to run and catch up and dodge and jump over hedges and stuff, but now it's there.
So the second act has changed less. It's the first act that is...
It's changed almost not at all. The second act is almost very similar to what you saw in Edinburgh, in North London.
Right, albeit with three completely different people.
Yeah, right.
And in fact, maybe what I'm noticing in those moments with all three of you, where they're unscripted but hilarious, is maybe because the show is reaching that point that, you know, hopefully we'll reach with sports, and we've certainly reached with all the other shows, is where you reach that point where you've done it long enough where you can
breathe.
You can breathe and find those little special little tweaks.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what I saw tonight, was a tweet show with moments of tweakiness.
Confidence in the material, yeah.
I should not be a theater critic, because I can't come up with the words to describe.
Well, also, you've also been up for 48 hours and have flown from Europe to America.
I'm Dan Raviv, CBS News. I really have a radio show, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? For the next 2 weeks, until July 24th, 2011, we'll be here in Washington, D.C. at the Kennedy Center performing The Complete World of Sports Abridged. You can also hear us and see us online giving an audio tour of publicly owned Shakespeare paintings. Go to bbc.co.uk/arts/yourpaintings and click on Choose Your Tour Guide. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to reducedshakespeare.com. And click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to more reflection on Completely Hollywood Abridged.
Yeah, I wonder if it's as simple as we're just getting older and better at what we do.
Well, it's interesting. Like the Tom Cruise box is a moment, you know, it was push it, push it, push it. And to not really much, you know, so I've really pulled back on that. It seems like the reaction is better. But getting back to one of those silence moments of silence where there's just business, you changed a little bit when you're kneeling on Becky's skirt and she falls over and the skirt comes down.
Yeah.
You're sort of trying now to go on and sort of realizing it and getting a couple of extra laughs. And there's a whole 30-second, 45-second bit with no dialogue.
It's become a whole other thing, but justly earned. It's no, like, you know, it's like it works. You can hang and let it hold because
I'm just playing it. I'm not pulling a face. I'm just actually playing it for real.
Pull a face, maybe it'd be a little better.
Yeah, you're right. But it's funny because I'm looking down and my cowboy hat is covering my face, so they're totally not seeing my eyes.
That's where it all happens, you know, is in the eyes.
Only playing the reality of the moment, which is that you're lying dead with your butt exposed, and let's face it, it's just the decent thing to do.
Absolutely.
Let me just say, your butt isn't really exposed. The skirt is slid down, there's trousers.
Yes. I'll be cutting that.
The understanding is that my butt is exposed, and everyone gets that.
Yeah. Yes.
We want to sell tickets to this show.
Yes.
Why I'm saying we don't see actual butts.
Right. Yeah. No butts. No butts. Just the skirt is down below your jeans. Mm-hmm. And well played. I believed every moment of your dead butt scene. You can cut this, Austin.
From a total accident. One night, he knelt down on my skirt, and I leapt off, and I felt the skirt go, and I'm like, this is a thing. As soon as I landed again, and my skirt was down, I'm like, here's the thing. All he has to do is sit on my skirt, which is what he did.
Right.
And then we had the whole...
Well, that was one of those weird things, like, oh, there's no way I can recreate this. And then went, oh, no, it's quite easy. I just kneel on his skirt. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Any final words about as we put Hollywood to bed for who knows the last time?
Well, if I can just say, I've heard a lot about the Dominator in the Hollywood show. And for those of you out there who have never witnessed the Dominator dominating...
The asininity that is Dominic Conti.
The asininity.
Are you ready to tackle that monologue of Dominic's there at the end?
Oh, no. No, I think that's a total Dom moment. And I've heard so much about it. And I now totally understand...
Now you get it.
I totally get why it's in there, why they didn't cut it out, and why you're still in the company. Because you're a genius.
Two other people have tackled that monologue and done it. You can do it, too.
Okay, I'll try.
Yeah.
In fact, the script is published by Broadway Play Publishing and available for licensing. Broadway Play Publishing, New York City.
Now, I don't even know. This is how long I've been out of the acting biz. Do professional actors still do monologues anymore? Question A. And B, Dom, would you ever do that monologue as an audition?
I would, depending upon the situation. Okay. I could maybe do it. But it might be... Yeah, it would just, like, a very specific situation would have that monologue work. Here's my feeling about monologues. It's like penalty kicks at the end of a soccer match or a football match. Yes. It's how they decide the game. It's exciting. It's not really a good way to decide who is the better team that day, but they don't have a better idea, so they do that. That's
right.
Why people have equity monologues. You know, equity generals, they do monologues. They don't have any better ideas, so they do monologues.
Right.
But it's really kind of way to go about this.
Yeah. We can put a man on the moon, but we can't come up with a better way of expressing our futility and not being able to do something new.
I don't know. You might might almost be better just like taking 2 minutes out of someone's time and interviewing that actor, right? Is this guy a non-D-bag? Okay. They look at his resume, chat for a second. All right, fare thee well. Otherwise, he's like, there he is doing Brighton Beach memoirs. It's like, oh, God. You know, you guys have seen it. You've been there.
Lou Gehrig did not die of cancer. It goes a little something like this. It's not used for filmed acting auditions. Usually for a first round of a theater audition. And then in the second round, you have the actual script of the show. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah. Almost always. I recently, and this is very rare, so you're pretty much right, but like I did an audition for an independent film in which I did a monologue from that very particular movie. So that's different. And so you interpret, like, and then screenwriters there, so then they get to see you do their thing, which isn't the same as you coming in and saying, I'm going to do this play, and then feel them die a little inside or not care or love that play or like your interpretation or not care or say, he's just too tall.
Right.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your Hollywood thoughts. Do you think it's one of our most absurd shows? Via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks as always to sleep-deprived webmaster Matt Rippey, Hollywood thought thinker Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Jeannie Whittle. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Dan Revive from CBS Radio News, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 247/120th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
The first time I've seen a Reduced show fresh, unadulterated, live, in the house since, I don't know when, I mean probably 20 years ago. This is the first new show I've seen, and it made me all tingly inside.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.